Talk right. Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations among other internet radio stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And now, from 2:30 to 3:05, let me present to you Dr. Barbara Becker Hosting and Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and I'm so glad to be with you, and welcome back to all my listeners to Happiness for Women Only. We've been doing a wonderful series on Happiness for Women Only that takes us through the different gateways to happiness as they integrate and merge with the different stages of a woman's life. We've done ages 10 to 19 in The Enchanted Girl, which you can download or use the podcast system and listen to. Then we've done ages 20 to 35. And last week we did 35 to 50. All of these shows are archived, and we're going to come back to them as we recycle at even deeper levels. And today, we are going to focus on the enchanted AARP woman, the woman 50 to who knows what age. And because our show is somewhat compressed, we lost a few minutes in the technology of using the wonderful World Wide Web system that amazingly gets us to everywhere, and it's unbelievable, but it does have its tiny blips. I'm going to introduce my colleague, Martha Trowbridge, who has been so wonderful to be with me co-hosting many of the shows. Martha writes inspirational works for women in crisis, and she is the author of several books, including The Woman You Were Born to Be, and Wings of Love, Self-Love, Inspiration for Shattered Women. And I'm also going to go right ahead and introduce our secret guest. She'll no longer be a secret in a minute. And that's Dr. Dori Lynn, who is a practicing, I don't know if I should say psychologist or psychoanalyst in the Washington area, and has a new book, When the Man You Love is Ill, Doing Your Best for Your Partner Without Losing Yourself. And I'd like each of you to just say hello, and then I'm going to just frame this talk a little bit.
Well, hi there, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be with you. And no, I'm a psychologist. I was trained as a psychoanalyst, but that was so many years ago, we kind of just forget about it.
Oh, okay. Very good. And Martha, hi again.
Hi, good afternoon, Barbara.
Yes, glad to have you with me.
Yes, and Dori, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Look forward to meeting with you and at least talking with you.
Let me just mention some of the things that happen for women who get the exciting AARP card in the mail, in the magazine, et cetera. Some of the things that I had jotted down were consolidation, rebirth, utter enjoyment. Oftentimes that's partly because the dog is out of the house, possibly the kids are grown up, possibly the husband. We don't know. I don't even want to go any further. But there's lots of changes and readjustments that for many women can be utterly pleasant. Yet time at this is marching. For some, the fantasy life of what to do after one retires is really happening. More women climb mountains than ever before. They have more advocations than ever before. And for many, the body responds to exercise, salsa dancing, minor facelifts, excellent food, getting your vegetarian drink every morning, doing your yoga, and it's a wonderful period of recouping and discovery. The girl inside of us finally comes out and really plays. Friends are very important and often really best friends. And then again, on the other side, the flip side, loss really hurts, and it happens. How can it not? Either you die or the other person or other people. health issues often do prevail and have to be watched and taken care of. And sometimes if you haven't made smart decisions, money and where to live and things, different concrete issues can be quite serious and have to be faced and handled. So these are just some of the aspects of looking through the glass at this age range.
And so Barbara, excuse me, it's Martha. I was thinking of another another phenomenon with which we have to deal, and that is the change in the way we physically appear. That can be very difficult to start seeing an older woman in the mirror if you're someone who has valued your youthful appearance all your life, and I think that's quite a challenge for many of us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Martha, I would like to chime in on that because I've often said to clients, and I do a lot of things besides therapy, as Barbara knows, that being a beautiful woman or a really attractive woman makes aging in this society harder than ever because, not because that woman has parlayed her attractiveness necessarily, it's just a gift that she's been given that she's always had. And what a huge change when somebody stops looking and they start picking up the grocery and saying, ma'am, are you sure you can handle this?
Right.
That's a great example, Dory.
Yes, and I am afraid I overheard a little kid at the swimming pool say to another little kid, is that your grandmother? And, you know, I just tried to really not ever look at either of those two little boys again, you know. But, yes, and so, of course, there are issues. On the other hand, when we take out our pictures of our mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers, we're in shock. Shock. My great-great-grandmother, you know, she probably was 48 or 50 at a picture I have of her, and it's today we never see people look that deteriorated in our culture.
Well, you know, Barbara,
that,
I'm going to disagree with you. I think we do see. I think, let me just say to you, that I think that we're living in a society, and this I know this is on happiness, but we're living in a society where we're going to be able to look at people and kind of just know their socioeconomic and cultural history or background just by the way they look, because women in big cities age differently, whether it's cosmetic surgery or going to the gym or keeping up with the Joneses, than people in small towns. And I'm always surprised when I travel, since I live in a city, at how differently somebody in Iowa or Minnesota looks. And you know what? They still look the way my grandmother did at the same age.
Mm-hmm. Dory, I have to agree again. Barbara, I'm sorry we're both taking the opposite
position. That is fine.
I'm a Bostonian, and I've been living in rural Vermont full-time for 6 years. And what a shock. I'm still not accustomed to women. I mean, it's totally, totally different look when you're a country woman,
care.
Well, you know, I've gotten lazy myself, I must admit. I wouldn't step foot outside the door unless I looked like a glamour puss in Boston. And here I just, you know, let it all hang out, as we used to say years ago.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing, and we're off on a tangent here, but I think the media, and I'm on the media a lot, excuse me, so, you know, I'm very familiar with what you have to do and which camera angle and all this kind of garbage, or this necessity, however you want to look at it. But the media today, I think 95% of our news anchors, male and female, but particularly female, there's a look. And a lot of people don't realize that that look has been cosmetically enhanced. And everybody, at least to my eye, looks the same. You know, I swear I can't take one from the other. And I think that someone who isn't as savvy in a smaller town looks at these media people or Hollywood or even D.C. or Boston and they can't quite figure out why they don't look like everybody else that they're seeing on the media.
Right,
so I think it's
right.
a very confusing message.
It is. And the more that you're influenced by media, of course, if you don't know how to sift through, the more tragic it can feel personally. Now, on the other hand, to turn it back to happiness, if you know how to use the media and the new books on whatever it is, nutrition, yoga, whatever, the new machinery and gyms, so much that does exist, I think that for the woman over 50, she really can feel inside differently. The aches and pains that my grandmother experienced, I have been protected from because of certain things that didn't exist, hormone replacement stuff, certain abilities to be able to work out. No one worked out when my grandmother was 50, let's say. It was an unheard-of concept. Maybe you took a stroll from where she lived in Brookline, downtown Brookline or something like that, but you didn't physically work your body. And we have such knowledge that if we can pull back from the maybe inner self-esteem blow of not looking exactly like somebody who has had the advantages of city slick living and the money to go with it, we can make personal decisions that we're the first generation that's really had the opportunity to make these decisions.
And well, I agree with that.
And we also can create inner happiness that radiates outward, which has so much to do with your how you present
right.
yourself and how you feel.
So, you know, particularly in terms of my work with the Gateways to Happiness, how do we utilize a sense of the narrative of our life story so it doesn't depress us, you know, that it uplifts us and we're somebody substantial by the time we're in older life, whether we are famous or not has no bearing on it. It's the idea that maybe we've conquered some of our own problems, that we've accomplished certain things that ancestors were not able to take care of. We've developed certain wonderful traits. We're good-natured people. We're easy friends, whatever it is. And combine the narrative of our story, which is my gateway to happiness number 2, the second gateway, with gateway 4, which is replenishment and permission for joy and happiness. How do we help women get to that? Because that's the gift that's waiting for 30 or 40 years for women who have longevity, and many, many do, you know, to get to.
Well, Barbara, you know, to go along with that, as you know, I have a website, and you and I have guests in on each
mm-hmm.
other's
mm-hmm.
sites, and I'll have to put in a plug called, it's called 50
sure.
and Furthermore. And we have two major themes which go right along with what you're saying about happiness. And one of them is the idea of saging instead of aging. Because I think we do get something for our lines and our life experience and our wisdom. And that is something that we didn't have. None of us could have had when we were younger. That comes with life experience, and we're wise, hopefully. And that's a tremendous gift that offers an kind of internal replenishment if we know how to use it. Other term that I love, because I think it so suits what you are saying, Barbara, and so suits our current population, is the word refirement instead of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're really talking about, is that we have the opportunity to refire, to do things we never thought we could before, and that our grandparents and perhaps our parents couldn't do because they were already ill.
Sure, and if not ill, it's just the framework, the paradigm that they used to look at the world was so a box that they lived in. We all live into our own boxes to some extent, but the window out of that box was just to try to age gracefully and you know, don't get in the way of younger generations, and you've had your time and that kind of thing. And these notions restrict what one is going to try to do.
That's true. You know, I love your term aging gracefully, because I think that part of happiness and really one of the gateways to happiness as we sage and as you have spoken about is to understand that happiness is really a gift. It's not just a given. So you kind of have to work at it, because everybody gets a bump in the road. And it's as we get older, we have the gift of wisdom to kind of roll with the punches and know how to deal with some of the bumps in the road, the curves that we are handed, and to come out of it and know that not everything is a crisis, you know, in every single second. And what a wonderful gift as we get older.
And what a gift to even alert our younger children and grandchildren, so maybe they won't have as many sleepless nights as maybe we had before 50, you know. Martha, you, I think, wanted to jump in about the whole notion of how do we give ourselves permission to have more joy, and what's that all about, and why is it so hard?
Right. We were talking a few moments before the show about that, Barbara. Why do women feel, or why do women need to give themselves permission to have joy? What do you think that's all about?
Dory, well, you want to take a stab at that?
I certainly do. And, you know, because one of the reasons I wrote the book and titled it the way I did, which is about caregiving, but it's When the Man You Love Is Ill, is because women are primarily the caregivers. And I have a whole chapter in it about what women go through. Actually, the whole book is about what women go through. And women in our society are still inculcated to try and do everything. They still are, even though we have, you know, should know better, we don't. And they don't know how to say no. So they try and do everything, and they put themselves last. And the best way to have joy, the absolute best way, is to let yourself have a little bit of self-fulfillment. You know, if you're a tree, you have to have well-watered roots, or your branches wither. And women tend to forget that they wear so many hats, they lose their heads.
Yeah.
And if they just slow down and give themselves time and not respond to everybody's needs, you know, they can have so much energy for creativity and fulfillment and happiness. So those are some of my ideas. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think what I see is a lot of my clients and my friends and even myself at times run close to empty. There's nothing in their gas tanks. And then they lie awake in bed, guilty or anxious, why they're not able to do everything that they promised or they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Even on empty. That is like, so what? So what that I haven't slept well for 3 weeks? Or so what I stand up while my family eats?
And then the next day, Barbara, having been awake all night, they're exhausted, which makes it even harder to replenish.
That's right. So the whole, it's like looking through an hourglass in a new way and turning it over for yourself. You know, you get the first time the hourglass is turned over. You get the first hour. And then you've got something in your tank to give something to others. And I know as I've gotten older and I've had those bumps you talk, I wish it was only one bump, Dory.
No, we all have.
You know, so many. But I think that I've realized, and I've become a little self-protective, that I have to take care of myself first. And I will try to do that. I won't necessarily even say answer the phone if I'm eating breakfast and I know I better eat first. Mm-hmm. You know, I just make certain personal decisions. They're not perhaps the most major. I have not gone off to some of the things women our age do, spas, and I've been a little cautious on some of the more daring adventures. I think I tend to do a lot of the small nourishing things. But that's style, too. You have to find your own style.
Life is an adventure whether you do it on small steps or big steps, but it's learning your own rhythm, I think, and honoring that rhythm. And as you said, taking care of yourself, even in small ways. You know, so many women run on empty and then run to a spa, get replenished, and then go back to run on empty again. That doesn't make much sense either.
Right.
It's a day-to-day process. And for women, it is so difficult, I think, just to learn to say, yes, I deserve.
And to say, no, I can't right now.
Exactly.
Or please close that door, you know. Please. Or I'm going to leave and take a walk. You have to watch that TV, and it has to be that volume. Well, I'll see you in an hour and a half, you know, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Those little distinctions. And I think that another thing that Martha and I have talked about is how easy we take criticisms to heart. So if someone says, well, you know, what did you buy that for? Do you really need to get your hair done again? And I don't know, my friends all do it from the bottle. Why do you have to go somewhere? Whatever it is, some derogatory remark. We're in agony. It's very hard to just stand our ground, don't you think?
Well, yes, it is. On the other hand, that's, I think, one of the joys of getting a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can say, you know, I'm old enough to do what I want, and this is who I am, and this is my life, and if I want to get my nails done every day, you know, because this pleases me and I can afford it, well, that's who I am. And
that's,
I think,
right.
It's really being comfortable with who you are. Or if I want to live in Vermont, you know, or anything else, that's who I am. I was going to say one thing, though, Barb. I think that we really are a kind of pioneer generation. And if anything, the people who are real pioneers are those people who are 60 and 70 and 80 who didn't grow up as boomers and didn't grow up with experimentation and yet are living longer and learning to do more for themselves. And they don't come from a generation where they're used to talking about these things. So they need programs like yours that help to give them permission and to say the very things
that you're suggesting.
Well,
I think permission is a very good theme that we might take up again, too. I know in my little book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, this little girl gives herself permission for lots of normal things. She just intuitively knows how to play, knows how to get out of the house if her parents are fighting, so, you know, she doesn't have to go down while they go down with the aggravation. And she just knows how to enjoy eating good food and knows that if she's interrupted in her sleep, she's going to feel lousy the next day. And people identify with her, and I'm hoping that women also fill up their tanks as they kind of get infused by her. And I'm wondering if you kind of don't do the same thing, Dori, because your subtitle is Doing Your Best for Your Partner Without Losing Yourself.
Barbara, thank you for mentioning that, because the whole book, you know, is really very permission-giving. And I won't go into the whole book, but one of the reasons I wrote it is because the diseases that used to kill us don't anymore. And the upside of that is we live longer than we ever have before. The downside is somebody gets sick, and the woman is almost always the caregiver, and she at our age or younger really does, has the caregiver's dilemma. She doesn't know how to take care of the person she loves, and it could be her parents, her children, her spouse, her partner, and she doesn't know how to take care and still take care of herself. She really has a quandary. So the book is very permission-giving to say, you need to take care of yourself.
And I think also, Martha, and then I'm thinking the three of us should probably come back and further explore this whole thing on permission. Martha, I'm assuming from having skimmed some of the edits as you went along with your books that your Wings of Self-Love is absolutely permission-giving.
Well, it's foundational. It is that the idea of permission to even look at yourself when you're in a less than perfect state or feeling terrible, to say, this is how I am, this is who I am, and I'm going to create a wonderful life despite all of the things I'm suffering at this point.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So it's all about permission, as we sum up for today. So being over 50 can be a blessing and is a miracle opportunity, and we've got to learn how to give ourselves permission, if we know how, even to strengthen that part of ourselves. So I just want to remind our listeners that I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. The show is Happiness for Women Only. We focused on women over 50 today, but all the different ages are archived on the radio station that you're listening to this on, the Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. And also, you can always find me at enchantedself.com. And Martha, they can always find you at
MarthaTrowbridge.org.
Yes. And they can always find you, Dori, at
50andfurthermore.com.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I enjoyed our show together. I think we're a dynamic trio. We've got to do more of this.
Barbara, and thank you so much. It's a wonderful message that you offer.
Thanks.
Yes,
I appreciate
thank you, Barbara.
That. And we'll say goodbye for today. Let's just wait and see if Lillian is coming back on.
Thank you for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Happiness for Women Only with her two guests. If you want to hear this all over again, please go over to the website at http://internetvoicesradio.com, where you can hear it more slowly. You can hear it again and again, or you can download it into a portable player and listen to it as you walk around the grocery store or jogging or even taking care of an infant while you're trying to get through whatever the infant is throwing. PIVTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping published mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. Our next program is scheduled to begin at 3:30 with Monica Coleman and Let's Talk Waterways. And before I leave you for the weekend, I would like to leave you with this one thought. Ideally, couples need three lives, one for him, one for her, and one for them together. And that was submitted by Jacqueline Bissett, an English actress. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend. We have a program planned for tomorrow where Dr. Nye Williams will be reading poetry in honor of a great poet. So I hope you can join us then. Thank you all very much for listening. And remember, check back often at http://internetvoicesradio.com. Have a great week. Bye. You still there?
Martha Trowbridge.
I'm still here.
Has left the conference.
Okay.
Dr. Dori Lynn, L-Y-N-N.
Has left the conference. Hmm.
Okay.
All right. I do have a client, so I've got to run. But Martha and I will discuss that whole notion, and if we can get some guests and stuff, maybe we can take the first Tuesday in August.
Okay. That would be terrific. Because
yeah, but I definitely would want things archived in order to use them properly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have a good weekend, and enjoy the 4th.
You're good, Lillian.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.